Thank you. You may be seated. Praise team. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. We love you, Lord, this morning. If you love him, just speak quietly to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. The Lord cares about every little thing. You know, the Lord will give us the victory. He'll carry us. If you want the Lord to carry you, I want you to raise your hands to him. You know, I like it when the little kids, when they come to their mom or their dad or their grandparents and they raise their hands, they want to be carried. You know, it's a sign to say, Lord, lift me up. Amen. Every one of you that raise your hands in here this morning, I'm going to ask the Lord to carry you. Lift your hands to him, not to me. Lift your hands to him. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands everywhere. Men ought always to pray. You know, Father, Lord, carry your people this morning. In the name of Jesus. You raise me up so I can walk on mountains. You raise me up to walk through stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Is that your testimony here this morning? Can he raise you? You know, the army, the U.S. Army, God bless their souls and their hearts. They say, be all you can be. God says, no, I'll raise you to be more than you can be. Amen. Hallelujah. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. The Lord bless every one of you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, at the beginning of this year, I was doing a series called Walking with God series, Transformation series, and I started to teach a number of things for several weeks, you know, and then the Lord prompted my heart, you know, and I began to speak and teach on it on a different platform as well. Today, I want to share another part of that series. Today's Walking with God lesson, you know, is that I may know him and be found in him. I share this someplace else. And I felt led to share this today with us, that I may know him and be found in him. Can somebody say amen? Now, what does it mean to know the Lord? We're not talking about gathering facts about him. We can gather a lot of facts, you know. We're not talking about gathering facts. But if you will put this scripture up for me, let me read through it quickly. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read from verse 7. Let's go through that very quickly. Are you there in the back? Philippians 3 for me, please. Chapter 7. Are they there? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Next verse. Let's go through it quickly. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count all things but dung that I may win Christ. Next verse. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by faith in God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. See, we are not there yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And listen to this next one. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can read the next couple of verses. Let's read it through 16. Verses 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall also reveal this unto you. And verse 16. And nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Which means wherever you have attained, you need to know that you haven't attained yet as you ought to attain. You know, but keep pressing forward to know him even more. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord. I want to read Psalms 46 and verse 10. Be still, the Bible says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. So if we follow this process, we can think that, look, we're not going to know unless we are still. So first, you got to be still. Be still and know that I am God. What does it mean to be still? Well, that's something that we find very difficult to do. You know, we really can't stay still in the presence of the Lord. You know, if we enter into a moment or a time of worship now, and I ask everybody to just be still and be quiet for 10 minutes, you know, something is going to happen to break that stillness. You know, you're going to get distracted by one thing or the other. You know, sometimes even religious thoughts will distract you when you are trying to be still before the Lord. That's right, religious thoughts. Oh, well, I got to go listen to this message. Oh, I got to go read this other sermon. Oh, I got to go do this other thing. You know, while you are in his presence, everything else should be still. Take that time. There's a time for everything. Let's take that time when we are in his presence to be in his presence. Not to be thinking of anything else. Jeremiah chapter 9. Let's talk about the knowledge of God. Jeremiah chapter 9. I want to read verses 23 and 24. If you put that up for me. Jeremiah 29. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't glory in your wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Don't glory in your might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't glory in your riches. But what is it that you should glory in? Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And that's the topic today, to know him. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Can somebody say amen? These are the things that we should take joy in, knowing that we know about God. You know, don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your might. Don't glory in your riches or anything else. So let's read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. I want to talk quickly. I don't want this to be a long message, but I want to talk quickly about the knowing him. And he says, we know that the Son of God is come, and he hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. Now this is the true God. And to know him is eternal life. Hallelujah. That's right. That's the best way to read that verse. You know, to know him as he wants to be known is eternal life. That's it. This is the true God. And this knowledge is eternal life. To know him, even his son Jesus Christ, is eternal life. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through about 17, Jesus took an opinion poll, a survey of his disciples. And he said, well, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whom do they say I am? And one said after this manner, and another said after this manner. And they said all kinds of things. This is what people are saying about you. And then he turned around and said, okay, fine. What about you guys? What do you say? Or whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And listen to Jesus' answer. He said, wow. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Now, so we cannot engage God in the flesh, folks. You can't. You can't engage him here in the human intellect. No. Doesn't work. God must be engaged in the spirit. Because John 4:24 will tell you that God is a spirit. And we have to engage him in the spirit. Jesus is saying here, you could not have learned this. It's not a seminary school. It's not your academics. It's not the knowledge. You know, all of these things could not have given it to you. But my Father in heaven gave it to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this knowledge that I'm talking about today is not academic. It's not about gathering facts. Well, we know that we should read the scriptures. We know that Paul commanded Timothy to study to show himself approved. Study the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God. We understand that. But what I'm talking about today is not about that at all. You know, I'm talking about knowing him. Not engaging him in the intellect. You know, now, some people read 10 different verses of the versions of the Bible. Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and this and that. And that's good. That's all good. But that's not how God is revealed. That's engaging God in the letters. Now, I'm not a Hebrew, so why should I read the Hebrew? You know, if God gave me the Bible, in fact, I'm not, you know, whatever you may call it, God has given us, allowed this Bible to be to us in many languages. And the language that God gave you the Bible in is good enough. And I tell you, I guarantee you that there are people where I come from, there are people in the village that cannot read, but still they can know God. Hallelujah. Don't think that only when you read is how you can know God. No, that's not how it works. In fact, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. Isaiah 29. And let me see if I can find. Let's look at verse 11 here. Isaiah 29, verse 11. Let's take a look at it. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver unto one that is learned. You know, actually, I would have written this two verses backwards, you know, but this is how it is written anyway. You know, you give the book to one that is learned, and you tell him, read this book. And he says, no, I can't read it because it is sealed. Now, this is a learned person, but they still can't read the book because the book is sealed. Then you turn around in verse 12, you give it to the one that is not learned. And you say, well, read this book. And he says, I can't read it because I'm not learned. You know. So that's why I say, I would have done it the other way around. I would have given the book to the one that's not learned. I said, read this book. And I said, I can't read it because I'm not learned. Okay, fine. Let's go find the one that is educated, the one that has all the degrees, and the one that knows everything, and let's give it to him. Now, you are learned. The other guy can't read it because he's not learned. But you are learned. Read the book. I said, I can't. Because it is sealed. Hallelujah. Praise God. What does that mean? Well, read the account of the in Luke chapter 10. Let's read from verses 21 to 22. In this book, this story, Jesus had sent out his disciples two by two, give them power over this and that, and they came back and they testified. They said, Lord, the demons, they were subject to us and all that. And Jesus said, well, don't rejoice over the fact that demons were subject to you. This is the one you should rejoice about, that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Can somebody say amen? And then in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, but thou hast hidden these things from the wise, from the prudent, from the educated, from the learned. You hidden it from them, but you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, this is the way that God does his things. And all things are delivered unto me by my Father. No man knows who the Son is. Nobody can figure it out, but the Father. No man knows who the Father is, but the Son. People are still arguing it today. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. It's not by education, guys. It is by revelation. Hallelujah. The revelation that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and that I may be found in him. That's the beauty of this message. Now, let's take a look at some of the things that Jesus talked about, even knowing him. In the book of John, chapter 14, there's a story here by one of his disciples that's called Philip. You know, they begin to ask him, John chapter 14, let's read verses 8 and 9. You know, and he said, well, show us the Father, Lord, and it's sufficient for us. This whole mystery about the Father and me, I don't know the Father, you know, but he knows the Son and all these things. Just show us the Father already and we'll be good with that. So, you know, enough of all this mystery. And Jesus looked at him and said, my, have I been with you for so long a time and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Now that's the question. I don't know at what stage in his 3.5 years of earthly ministry that he said this. I don't know how many years had passed, but they had been there with him all the time. And Jesus is calling out an observation that this man still doesn't know him, even though they've been with him. They've done all these great things that he asked them to do, and still they don't know him. So this is the same thing today. There are people that are coming to the church. There are people that are doing all these things, you know. They are in the church, you're going in and out of the service, but do you really know him? You know, or have you accumulated facts about him? Well, facts may be good, but that's not what I'm talking about today. In the book of Job, chapter 11, verses 7 to 9, let's read it. Job, chapter 11, verses 7 to 9. Canst thou by searching find out God? Well, it's a good thing to search. We should search. But you have to balance it out. Because Proverbs 25 and verse 2 tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. So we should search. Well, that's a matter. Can you by searching find out God? Yes, we can search after him. But he has to be the one to reveal himself. Canst thou find the Almighty unto perfection? You know, can you do all these things? No. But yes, when you seek after him, he will reveal himself. But we don't want us to think that, oh, because I've read the Bible from cover to cover. There's a lot of people that boast about that. They've read the Bible through 6 different times, 8 times, 9 times, and whatever. But they still don't know him. You know, they don't know him. And many people are calling themselves Christians that really don't know the Lord the way he wants to be known. You know, and that is why the smallest old little thing that happens, you know, people freak out because they don't really know the Lord. You know, and then they'll freak out because something is happening. They don't have the true knowledge of God. And I want to share that with you this morning, that it's not about learning. It's not about all of that. And it's not even, there's even more to it than, you know, I've seen the miracles. I've seen the power. You know, I speak in tongues. You know, it's more than all of that. Because there's a lot of people that do all that. There's a lot of people that speak in tongues that don't even know God the way he wants to be known. You know, and then when something happens, you know, the next thing they know, they're running all over the place. Because you don't really know, you don't really know the Lord. You know, so let's look at a couple of people in the Bible, what they said. The first one that I'm going to look at is Moses. Let's look at Exodus chapter 33. And let's read verse 18. This Exodus 33 chapter, before we go to Exodus 33, we've been through all the early chapters of Exodus, chapters 12, 13, 14, all the great things that God did in Egypt, even chapters before then, and even the miracle of the, what is it? The miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. That was the single most spectacular miracle, you know, visible to people that we can say in that Bible. And Moses was privileged in doing all of that. And he comes here and says, Lord, show me thy glory. Praise God. Show me thy glory. Are you telling me that all those things were not glory? I mean, he called forth frogs. He called forth lice. He turned water into blood. He did all of these things. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. He did all these things. He had a pillar of fire. He had a pillar of cloud. He had all these things. And yet he said, Lord, show me thy glory. Well, there is a hunger and there is a thirst, you know, that is hidden in that request right there. You know, this is the thing that we're talking about. You know, let's look at some of the prayers that we should be praying as believers in order to know him. The prayers that we should be praying as believers. Now, many people who are believers today, they are still praying like the old man. What is the old man? Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Lord, do this. And Lord, do that. You know, and these things are okay. It's all right. But Jesus said, look, these are the things. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, these are the things that all the nations of the world and the heathen, the unbelievers, that's the prayer of the unbeliever. When an unbeliever is in trouble, they pray to God. God, help me. God, deliver me. Help me to pay my rent. Help me to do this. Help me to do that. You know, but what separate, what is the difference between those of us who say we are believers, if that is the only kind of prayer we pray? God, help me do this. Bless my business. Do this for me. Give me my next rent. Give me my next house. Give me my next car. Do all of this. These things are good. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah, somebody. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, look, these things, give me this, give me what shall I wear, give me what shall I eat, how shall I pay my rent, how will I buy my next car? All of these things are the things that the heathen are seeking after. And then he turned around and said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, let's read it together. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33 is where he said that, but the verses leading up to that is where he said all these other things that I just said. You know, when people pray, you know, he said, look, when you pray, he asked us to do certain things. Verse 31, you know, in fact, let's start from maybe even verse 26. You know, there's so many things he said in this chapter. He said, 25. Let me start from 25. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than the meat. Now, if you pray about these things, God will do them. There's no question, because he cares about everything. But what Jesus is talking about is, don't be consumed by these things. He's not telling us not to wear clothes and be naked all over the place. No. It's not telling us not to eat. No. But he's saying, don't be consumed by this thing. Don't be driven by this. You're so driven by what shall I do? How's my business going? How's my next rent? How's my next car? And so forth. You will not have time for the knowledge, the real knowledge of God. You know. And then he said, look, the body is more than raiment, more than meat. The fowls of the air, they neither sow, they reap not, they gather. They don't gather into bags, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. People read these things that Jesus said, but we just gloss over them. We just read them and move on. We don't care about these things. We're looking for the works that I do. Same shall you do, and greater that works than this. That's what people are looking for about the words of Jesus. But Jesus said this thing, you know, don't be consumed with this thing. You are much better than the lilies of the field, the fowls of the field. He even said the lilies of the field, you know, they don't toil, they don't spin. You can read it in verse 28. But I tell you that Solomon in all his glory, Solomon was not arrayed like even one of these lilies. I mean, in the eyes of God, those lilies that he created, they had more grandeur than Solomon and all his whatever he had. Can you believe that? That's what Jesus said here. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And then he goes on to say, look, he said, God can clothe the grass that's in the field. Today is there, the casting or the fire. What about you, O ye of little faith? Because we don't really know God. That's why we're so consumed with this thing. Don't worry about what shall eat, what shall drink, what shall we clothe, and all of these things. Listen to what he said in verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Gentiles in this equate to unbelievers. People that should not even, they don't have any knowledge of God. This is what they seek after. Now, I challenge you to examine yourself. Is this what you are seeking after too? Is every prayer that you pray about these things? For your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of all these things. He knows. I mean, my wife was giving a testimony about some little thing about headgear that she was wanting, and God just provided. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. You don't need to be consumed by them. He said, look, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The kingdom of God and his righteousness is where the knowledge of God is, folks. He said that ye glory in this, that you know me, that I'm a God of judgment and righteousness and mercy in the earth. You know, how do we seek God to know him? You know, what is the message of the kingdom of God? That God wants to express himself in us, through us, to our family, to our communities, to our cities. The expression of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, preach this kingdom of God wherever you go. And he sent them out. And he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And then shall the end come. The end is not coming until the true gospel of the kingdom is being preached. People are preaching all kinds of gospels today. I don't know where they got it from, but people are preaching all kinds of gospels, but it's not the gospel of the kingdom, and it's not working. You see, but as the true gospel of the kingdom is being preached, taking our eyes away from all these things, you know, and focusing on the word of God, the righteousness of God, then God will begin to add all these things to us. And he will begin to show us that there is a role that we need to play. Don't just be consumed on, you know, your daily lives. You know, the purpose of God in you is much bigger than that. It's much, much bigger. But you know, there is a technique that the enemy does to make sure that you are focusing on only all those things. This is, you can find that in the story of Moses versus Pharaoh. When Pharaoh went to Moses and said, let my people go. We need to go and serve the Lord. Pharaoh said, these people are idle. They are idle. That's why they say we want to go and serve the Lord. Let there be more labor laden upon them. That's the trick. Pile more load upon them. Give them more bills to pay. Give them more challenges to do. If they are in school, make sure they have more homework, more exam, more this, more that. Now, you should do all those things. I'm not knocking any of those things. But make sure that you pile more of those things upon them so that they will not have time to say, we want to go and worship the Lord. This trick and technique was there way back in the time of Pharaoh, and it's still there today. Pile more things on them. Make sure their business, their school, their work, their academics, their family, everything they have, just pile more burden, pile more labor upon them so that they won't have time to say, I want to go and worship the Lord. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And somebody say amen. Come unto me, folks, you know, cease from your labor. Now, you know, if you know anything about me at all, I am somebody that believes in hard work. You know, I don't believe in just doing anything just for doing sake. If you're going to do anything, you do it well and you do it right. If you're going to go to school, you go to school and you be the best in the class. So I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of that. No, but I'm saying don't let your life be consumed in those things. Why? Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. And I want to just read verse 15. Verses 15 and 16. Just one verse there. But maybe I'll just read 16 alone. Luke 16. Let's just read verse 16. Luke 16. Maybe we'll read verse 15. Let's read verse 15. Luke 16, 15. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. Jesus said unto them, he said, look, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. You know, God knows your hearts. For all that stuff that is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, this is Jesus talking. What are the things we highly exalt among men? Accolades, academic prowess. We think that by getting all these degrees in theology and so on, that's how we know God. Now, degrees are good. If you're going to go to school, you might as well get the top degree. So I'm not knocking that. But it is not all those things that make us anything in the sight of God. Jesus is actually saying that, look, these things that people acclaim, the things that are highly esteemed among men, go back to verse 15. Verse 15 is what I was looking for. Leave that verse 15 on the screen. Thank you. The things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination. In the sight of abomination is a strong word, folks. It's not even saying that it's not pleasing to God. It's an abomination. I mean, that is repulsive. That's something that's repulsive to God. All the things that we highly esteem, you know, titles, even in the church, titles and everything. All these things that we highly esteem among men, they are an abomination to God. But to know him, learn of me, for I am lowly. Hallelujah. I am lowly. Learn of me. You know, learn of me. How do we learn of God? How do we learn of Christ? Well, this is the prayer. These are the prayers that we should be praying. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at these prayers that we as new believers should be praying. We're going to read it from verse 15. This should be the prayer of the new covenant saints. You know. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks unto you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is the prayer. Now, unbelievers don't pray this kind of prayer. You cannot find an unbeliever that will be praying, Lord, let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of your calling. Let me know what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Unbelievers don't pray that prayer. Unbelievers say, Lord, get me out of this jam that I'm in. Help me to pay my rent. Help me to do this and do that. They cry to God. And God, in his mercy, he answers them. But there needs to be a differentiation between those of us that say we know the Lord versus those that don't know the Lord. When you know the Lord, you know, Isaiah 62 and verse 10 says, you know, take out the stones, gather out all of these things, lift up a standard for the people of God. And I'm talking about a standard for the people of God today. Don't walk in the ways of the Gentiles. We must have the knowledge of God. The prayer goes on to say, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. You think an unbeliever can pray this kind of prayer? It's impossible. You know? And if you are not able to pray this prayer, then you need to really check. Why are you not able to pray this prayer? This is the kind of prayer that we need to be praying. Lord, that my eyes, the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may be able to know you, that I may be filled with the knowledge of God. Hallelujah, somebody. This is what we should be praying. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we should be praying about. The same thing, let's also turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Likewise, we read it, you know, Ephesians 3, let's read from verse 14. And the book of Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, this is the prayer, grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this is the prayer that we should be praying. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us also the same thing. It said, look, all these things that God is doing in the church, the ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we come in the unity of the faith to the knowledge of the Son of Man. That's right. And I'll be filled. I will be built up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the prayer that we need to be praying. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we should be desiring. You must grow in his grace. You must grow in his knowledge. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. No, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 is the verse that is before 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is a very popular verse. In fact, it is one of the two scriptures that I was taught when I gave my life to Christ many, many, many years ago. And I was told that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But this verse that is before that verse is going to tell you something that is very important here. We cannot, this is the summary of what I've been saying in the beginning. We cannot engage and we cannot know God in the flesh. This is what this verse says. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, even though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. You cannot engage him in the flesh, folks. You've got to move on to engage him in the spirit. Now, the flesh profiteth nothing. You know, the letter also killeth, but the spirit gives life. That was why every time Jesus was talking to them, simple things, they would twist his words and they would just get into trouble. You know, because you can't engage God by the intellect. You have to engage God in the spirit. You know, so even as I'm speaking this message to you today, if you're not hearing it directly from God, it will not make any difference in your life. That means you are engaging this message in the human mind. You're engaging it with your intellect. You're listening to the verses that I'm quoting. You're listening to how beautifully I'm speaking. If beautifully I'm speaking, you are looking at all those things, whatever, but you're not engaging God in the spirit. And then at the end, you say, oh, that was a wonderful sermon. But what did he do? Nothing. Because you haven't engaged him in the spirit. That's it. So, and I talked about this series when I was doing that, you know. When I was doing this series, I talked about the story of Enoch to Adam. Adam to Enoch, rather. How all the generations, Enos, Jaleel, Mahaliel, and all these people, between Adam and Enoch, how they heard the same stories that Enoch heard, but it made no difference in their lives. They all saw something there, the cherubims and the drawn sword. And Adam would say to them, and now this is the untold story. You won't find it written like this exactly in the Bible. But they would have asked Adam these questions. What's all about with those cherubims? Why can't we go in the garden? And Adam would tell them the same stories. It's closed. And he would tell them all the things that used to happen before the fall. And every one of them would just say, oh, that's a wonderful story. And they just move on. But one man engaged God in the spirit. One man called Enoch. When he heard the same stories that everybody else heard, he said, you mean you had all that and we can't have it anymore? And I said, son, that place is closed. You can't go in there anymore. Well, I am going in there, or that place is coming to me, or whatever happens, I'm going to do it, or I'm going to die trying. I am going to seek God. Something sparked in him that made him to chase after God. And for 300 years, he did it. Genesis 5 and 22. He sought God for 300 years. That I may know him. That I may be found in him. And yes, he was found in him. He was translated. That people would not find him around here. And the next thing you know, he was found in God. Hallelujah. Yes, that I may know him. And that I may be found in him. Hallelujah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. 300 years he walked with God. And he begat sons and daughters during that time. So walking with God doesn't mean you're not married. It doesn't mean you don't have children. It doesn't mean you become some Elijah the Tishbite in the bush somewhere. No. You can walk with God like this man did for 300 years. And he was still having kids. He was still raising children. But he was walking with God. He didn't let any of those things, you know, children, wife, anything. No. He set his affection on things above. He set his affection on the Lord. And he chased after God. And here is the punchline for this exhortation today. Folks, there is a line that you must cross. It's like a line in the sand. When you cross that line, God will stand up. That's right. But if you don't cross that line, you just seek the Lord haphazardly. You just pray in the morning, God bless my business and so on. That's cool. That's cool. God will do that. You know. But for some that will cross that line, turn with me to John 14 and verse 23. Let's see how he says it. You know, the scripture says it also in Isaiah 55. Say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart and all that stuff. You know, we're not going to just get this knowledge just by random skipping through the Bible. No. If a man love me. Now, many things in the Bible start off by if. So that means there's some condition to it. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 15. If you will obey my voice and keep my words and follow my statutes, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me. And you'll be a kingdom of priests. But they didn't want it, you know. If a man love me, He will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto... Now, this man that Jesus is talking about here has crossed the line. Now, this is a good line. This is not a bad line. He has crossed the line from being religious. He has even crossed the line from even having just a plain relationship with God. This is a man that is chasing after God and is pursuing his words. And this is a man, he has crossed that point. And Jesus said, look, I will stand up and I will come and make my abode with him. Now, he's not going to do this to everybody. Oh, no. If he's going to do it to everybody, then there's no need to say this. He will just make his abode with everybody already. And people say, well, the Lord is with me. Yeah, the Lord is with you. There's no question about that. That is his universal presence. God is everywhere. Even Psalm 139 says, even if you go into hell, he's there. God is everywhere. But Psalm 16 tells you, in his presence is fullness of joy. Wow. If there's fullness of joy in his presence, and his presence is everywhere, how come everybody doesn't have fullness of joy? So now, if the presence of God is everywhere, and in his presence there's fullness of joy, then everybody and everywhere in the world, there should be fullness of joy. But that's not the case. It's not the case. That is his global presence, his universal presence. But his manifested presence is what he's saying here. If you love me, and how do you love him? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's the first and great commandment. You will pursue him. He will be your chief joy. Above all else, God will be number one. First place or no place at all. God will not be second place in your life. Now, because of his mercy, there will be trinkles of blessings here and there. But you are never going to experience this. I will come to him and I will make my abode with him. And I will come and sup with him. You're not going to experience that with just wishy-washy kind of, walking after God. This is my prayer. That this kind of passion will be in my heart. That I will love the Lord my God. That I will pray to know him. When I know him in a way that he will come to me. Hallelujah. He will come to me. That's right. This is different than, this is different than the one saying, Jesus said, come unto me. No, that's different. Come unto me, all ye that... That's an invitation to everybody. But this time around, Jesus said, I will come to you. I will come to you. Now, this is beyond... This is not John 3:16, folks. John 3:16 is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves everybody. This is a differentiated kind of love. I said it. You can quote me on it. This is a differentiated kind of love. This is not God so loved the world. God so loved the world, we know that. But if a man love me, I will love him. This I will love him is the one I'm talking about. Find out how I can get this kind of thing from him. Where he will say, I'm coming to you. Now, this is not you coming to him now. This is him coming to you. Because you have crossed that line. Hallelujah. not everybody, not even myself, willing to pay that price. But that's what I'm chasing after. I'm chasing after it. That's what Paul said. We're not yet perfect, but I follow after. I may not be perfect, but I'm following after. I'm following after. Let's read the rest of it. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye have heard is not mine, but my Father's which sent me. Next verse. These things I have spoken unto you, are being yet present with you, and so on. And he said, the Comforter, when he comes, he's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring to your remembrance all these things that I've said unto you before. Now, in closing, what is the purpose of a message such as this? Well, the purpose is to inspire a holy ambition. That's the purpose. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to have it right now, but you follow after. You pursue, and you are not relentless. I mean, you are relentless. You don't give up. Let me leave you this scripture. Romans 8 and 29. It says, well, let's start from actually 28. Romans 8 and 28. Let me read this to you. And we know, this is Paul's testimony. Do you know? It's just like Paul says, well, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. And a lot of people quote that, but they are ignorant. You know, do you know that all things work together for good? Hello? This is the way that most people quote this verse. They quote it and say, all things work together for good. And they just leave it like that. No, that's not what this scripture says. If you are quoting that scripture like that, stop quoting it like that. Start quoting it from today the way it says it here. All things work together for good to them that do what? To them that God loves. All things work together for good to them that God loves. God loves everybody. That's John 3:16. But this is something different. All things work together for good to them that love God. Not to them that God loves. God loves everybody, but all things don't work together for good for everybody. Because they are not chasing after God. They don't love God with all their heart. This is the first and great commandment. That you may love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your power, all your strength. That you may know him. And when you do that, all things will work together for your good. You know, when you do that, all things will work together for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to invite the praise team to come back to the stage. That I may know him and be found in him. Well, what is driving your passion? What is your passion in life? The American dream? That's a good thing too, you know. American dream is good. Have this, have that, have the other thing and so on. You know, all of those things are good. But it's not eternal life. It is not the knowledge of God. You know, that I may know him and that I may be found in him. And even if you are not quite there yet, you keep pursuing after. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, while you are here, before they start playing any music, give me just one more minute. I want everybody to raise their hands. No music just yet. God just reminded me of this scripture, and I want to read it. I want it to be on the message. I want it to be part of the recording. In Genesis 15 and verse 1. God said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. And God didn't say, I will give you a great reward. No, I am your reward.
Amen. Amen.
I will give you myself.
Hallelujah.
Not I will give you this, I will give you that. Not I will give you this and I will give you that. But I will give you myself. And there's a big difference between the Lord should give you this and the Lord should give you that. There's an even big difference between the Lord should give you a son versus the Lord give you himself. God wanted to give Abraham himself. But Abraham said, oh Lord, I need a son. He said, and this is the problem with us. When we are in the presence of God, when we are on a roll and God is visiting you, you know, the next thing you're thinking about is your next car, your next this, and your next that. Just like Abraham, it's been like that in the beginning. It's nothing new. But if you will just focus on the Lord. But if you do that,
amen.
If you do that, God will give you that son, but you are going to bring him to the altar.
Amen.
You are going to have to bring that son to the altar. Because there will be nothing that will take the place of God in your life.
Amen.
If that son was so important to you, when God said, I will give you myself, and you are saying, give me a son, give me a son. I don't have a son. And all that. God said, okay, fine. I'll give you the son. But you are going to come right here. And bring that son to the altar. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And this is not written in the Bible, but I guarantee you, I don't know. Maybe if he hadn't worried about the son right now, perhaps it wouldn't have taken him 25 years. Think about that, folks. When God said, if you have God, you have everything. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If you have God, you have everything. Lord, give me yourself.
Amen.
Lift up your hands and let's pray. Father, Lord, give us, give me, pray for yourself. Give me, Lord, yourself. I want you, Lord. If not even what you can offer me, anything that even God can offer you pales in comparison to God himself. Even what God can offer you cannot replace God himself.
Amen.
Lord, that I may know you and that I may be found in you. This is my prayer here this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
That I may know you, Lord, and that I may be found on you. Not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, that's self-righteousness. And not walking in sin consciousness either. But walking in the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, help each one of us to have this kind of knowledge. Help us in the pursuit of God. In the pursuit of the kingdom of God. And in the pursuit of his righteousness. And we give you, Lord, the praise.
Amen.
And all the glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.